Okay, hi everybody. My name is David Fifield, and I'm a developer on the Nmap security scanner. I want to tell you all about some new developments that have been going on in Nmap recently, things that you may not know about yet if you're an experienced Nmap user, and I also want to introduce those of you who don't know what it is. I want to give you a little taste of it. So to start, let me kind of have a show of hands or something. Who has used Nmap or knows what it is? Okay, so it's about half. Okay, so that's pretty good. When people hear Nmap, they usually think port scanner, because that's what Nmap was to begin with. And it actually is, yeah, it is a port scanner. But it's been in development for over 10 years now. So it's got a lot it can do. It's evolved into sort of a really general purpose security scanner program. I've been an Nmap developer for 4 months. I started at the beginning of this summer as part of a program called the Google Summer of Code, which I can talk about a little bit at the end, if there's time. At the beginning of the summer, I knew just a little bit about Nmap. I want to thank Dr. Beatty here, who introduced it to me in the computer security class. Now I estimate I'm probably in the 99th percentile worldwide of Nmap users, just because I've been, working on it nonstop for 4 months. So those of you who have used Nmap, I want to get some feel. What are your favorite features or uses of the program? Let's hear it. Yeah. Okay, sure. So scan an entire subnet, not just one host. You want to know everything that's up there. You want to know what all the ports are. Yeah. Okay, sure. Yeah, so when you're doing vulnerability testing or things like that, a port scan, something like Nmap of the whole network is usually the first thing you do. And then you move on to more focused attacks. Anything else? Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Are you, you have the only Apple on the network? You look for the Apple Mac address or whatever. You know what your machine is? Yeah, I'm surprised nobody mentioned OS detection. OS detection is pretty hot stuff. I remember the first time I used it, I ran it against my Linux server, and it comes up and it says Linux 2.6 point whatever. I'm like, whoa, that's awesome. And actually, one of the things I did during the summer is I spent a lot of time integrating OS fingerprints, which is when you run Nmap on a system and says, I don't know what OS this is, but here's how it responds to our GCP probes submitted at this website. Well, I was the guy who saw those and then worked them into the database. So this database, is just growing and growing, the number of OSs that it can detect. Besides OS detection, it can do service version detection. So you run it against a web server, it'll say, this is IIS, this is Apache 1, or this is Apache 2. And sometimes it can even get more specific down to patch levels or micro versions. Pretty amazing stuff. The micro program has been in development for a long time, so it's not surprising it has all these cool features. You know what, just because some people have not used Nmap before, let me just do a quick example of what it can do. Traditionally, Nmap is a command line program. I'm going to show you some new developments on that front in a second, but let me show you what this looks like. Can you read that? I'm scanning a machine called scanme.nmap.org, which is just a machine they provide that you're allowed to scan for examples and things like that. The V flag just turns on verboseness. All right, and this will just take a few seconds. This is just your basic port scan. It's going to send a TCP probe with the SYN flag set to all the ports and then come back with all the things that got a response. And this is what it looks like. This is what Nmap users are used to. It says that these 6 ports had some response. They're either opened or they returned a reset and they're closed. And 1,699 of the ports just returned no response at all. So it's probably like a default deny firewall or something in front of that machine. So this is what Nmap users are used to. I want to show you something that has sort of been in development behind the scenes and is now being shipped with Nmap. This is called UMIT, which is the new graphical Nmap front end. It's pretty cool, and it lets you do a few things that you're not able to do with just standard Nmap. So I'm going to use this for all my examples just so that you all can get an idea for what it looks like, and also its syntax highlights. It looks a little nicer. All right, so the first new feature I want to talk to you about, which may interest a lot of you, is script scanning. This new thing is called NSE. And if you look on the handout, I've got examples of commands that you can run with a recent NMAP if you just want to see what these things do. The version detection in NMAP is pretty robust, but they found that there are a few services it doesn't quite handle. For example, Skype, the version 2 protocol, it's sort of a tricky protocol. You can't identify it with one probe. You send it one probe, and I think I have this right, I'm not sure, it sends back like a few bytes of random data. You send it another probe, and it sends you back some actual information. So you have to send two successive probes to find out what's running there, and NMAP's generic version detection wasn't quite robust enough to handle that. But they thought, if we could run a little script when we find a certain port or whatever, we could detect this sort of thing. So that's where the NSE was born. Scripts are just small programs written in the programming language called Lua. I guess not a lot of people have heard about it, but it's pretty commonly used for embedded programming. And it's not that hard to pick up. You can look at these scripts. You know, none of them are more than like 100 lines. They're pretty simple and give you a lot of power. So one of the things that you gain is the ability to detect some of these tricky services like Skype version 2. And also, just because these scripts can do just about anything you want them to, you know, you're not limited in what they can perform. Let me start up a script here, a script scan, so you can see the results. And you'll notice this dash SC, that turns on script scanning. One of the things, unfortunately, ScanMe doesn't have a lot of services that the script reports. All we're going to see is the HTML web page title and the HTTP authentication information that the web server is demanding. There, it started doing the script scanning. I'll show you the results of another scan that has some more interesting information on it. But this will do things like, if you're running an FTP server, it knows to run this script that checks for anonymous logins on that FTP server. And it'll say, port 21 is open, and this server allows anonymous logins. You know, there's one example. Another thing will say, this port is an open HTTP, an HTTP proxy, you know, which is something that a network administrator might want to know about. So it's really cool, and already there are dozens of scripts that are packaged with NMAP, and if you download it, you're going to get all of these. And they're still being developed. NSE, I believe, was developed as part of last year's Summer of Code. And there's more information on that. We don't need to get into all the details. You can read that for yourself. But here we see those same results, those same six ports, and we have additional information on port 80. There's a web server there that's serving up a web page that says authentication required. And additionally, another script ran which said that it's requiring basic auth, and you can't see anything on the web server in case you unless you log in. So that's kind of cool. Let me open up a scan that of a machine on my LAN from behind the firewall, so it's got a little more stuff on it, so it's a little more interesting. Here we see that FTP is open, anonymous FTP is allowed. Here's what the SMTP server said when it sent the EHLO command. Here's the web page title for HTTP, and there's HTTPS running, and here's all the information on what that implementation of SSL supports. So this is a lot of information you're getting that you get now with the script engine that you couldn't get before. All right. Let me open up a new scan in UMIT here. I'll start it up and then explain what's going on. When you do like a ping scan with NMAP, you just want to know what addresses on your network correspond to machines that are live. There are a lot of reasons a machine could be marked up. If you're scanning a LAN, NMAP sends out ARP requests. It turns out to be a really, really fast way to ping hosts and see if they're up. If you're scanning across a non-local network, it's going to send out an ICMP ping, and it's going to send out a TCP ACK packet to port 80. So either the host hopefully is going to respond to the ping, or it's going to send a reset to the ACK as it's supposed to. And that, you know, you don't care if it sends you a reset. All you care is it sends you something, and you know it's up. But until now, you couldn't really tell why it was marked up.
you know, which one of these things caused it to do that. So if you give the flag dash dash reason to nmap, it's going to tell you exactly why it was marked up. So port 22 TCP sent back a synact, so you know that's why it came up. Port 25 sent back a reset, you know that's a typical closed port. All these ones that were filtered, well that's interesting, this is different results than I get at home. 1,699 ports were filtered, 1,697 of them were because we received no response, and two of them we got back some ICMP destination unreachable administratively prohibited messages. So that's interesting. And if we wanted to, we could dig in deeper and find out which ports are giving back those admin prohibited messages rather than just no responses. So I don't know, I think that's kind of cool. If we run this with, say, a different scan, like we run an ACK scan, we're going to see different results just because this gets back different different information. An ACK scan can't tell you if a port is open, but it can tell you if a port is filtered or not. So that's what we're going to see here. Well, check that out. Look at that. Those two ports were 135 and 445, and that's probably something that DU has implemented that's doing that, and that's why these results are different than I saw before. So, cool, we just learned something about DU's network. Okay, so I got a quick pop quiz for you. Who knows the port number for HTTP? Shout it out. Hey. Who knows SSH? HTTPS? 443, all right. Anyone know SNMP? Who already stumped you? SNMP is 161. How about that? All right. Anyone know BGP, the Border Gateway Protocol? I didn't think so. That happens to be 179. And your trivia for the day is if you run the Doom, you know, the first-person shooter Doom in multiplayer mode, it runs on port 666. So there you go. But the point is, you, as an administrator, shouldn't have to remember all these port numbers, and that's where this next cool feature of nmap comes up. Let me pull it up here. So it used to be, until very recently, you had to say if you wanted SSH, HTTP, and NNTP, you would have to say dash P, 2280, and whatever NNTP is. But now you can give them by name. So if we scan this real quick, and obviously that scans laser fast because we're only scanning three ports, we find out that SSH is open, HTTP is open, NNTP is filtered, and additionally it's on port 119. You know, who knew? You can also give wildcards. I have an example on there. You do HTTP star, and it'll give you all like 10 or so services in the database that start with HTTP. Unfortunately, there's something wrong with UMint. It wasn't working in that, but it'll work on the command line. And yeah, so that's kind of cool. Actually, I think that's a pretty useful thing if you don't want to just memorize a lot of numbers. And let's pull up the next scan. Nmap has recently gained traceroute capabilities. So I imagine a lot of you know how traceroute works. You send probes with varying time to lives, and you check when those what node sends back the error message saying time to live exceeded, and you know that that's on the path from your machine to the remote host. So Nmap is basically doing the same thing, but it's a little more sophisticated, and it benefits from also being a port scanner. So here's the initial port scan that we've seen before. And here's the trace route. So scanme.nmap.org is 12 hops away. And these are the machines it passes through. Now let me modify this command line a little bit. We'll add insecure.org on there, which is the website Nmap is distributed from. Now we're doing a parallel trace route of two hosts. A benefit of this is you send fewer probes overall because you already know a portion of the path. It uses sort of a, instead of just a counting up method, it uses a counting up and counting down for the TTLs, which ends up saving you a lot of time. The other benefit Nmap has is it's done a port scan. It knows what ports are open on those hosts. So if something is going to get through a firewall to that host, it's through that port. So you're not just picking a random ping message or picking a random port and sending it out and hoping it makes it. You know it's going to make it because you already just did a port scan. So let's look at this. We see here, scan me. Here's the same trace route we saw before. Spend some time in DU, goes out to Quest, and then hits some co-location facility, and then hits the website. And this is kind of cool. We see that hops 1 through 11 are the same as for scanme, and then insecure.org, just the last hop is different. So that tells me these things are probably on the same LAN in the co-location facility or whatever. So you can do this trace route on your whole network and actually get an idea of your whole network topology. And if it's a big enough network, you can get away with, I read in the documentation, sending only a little bit more than one probe per host. So it's pretty efficient, especially, you know, the more hosts you scan. There is a plugin under development for UMIT, which will take traceroute results and display them in a graphical map. Sort of has concentric circles. You pick a node to be the center, and it will show the network from the point of view of that node. It shows everything radiating off from that. You click on another node, and it moves to the center, and everything rearranges itself, so you see the network from the perspective of that node. So it's pretty cool, but it's not shipped with standard UMIT yet. Alright, now we've got a little bit of time, so I want to run one more sort of time-consuming scan while I talk to you about the Summer of Code. Anyone know what the dash capital A flag does for nmap? The A stands for advanced and aggressive options. For a long time, it enabled OS detection and version detection, and now it also enables traceroute and script scanning. Oh, and I should mention that even if you don't enable script scanning, there is a certain category of scripts that run when version detection is run, just because those scripts do version detection. All right, so let me start this one up. I'd like to ask, does anyone have any questions so far about what's going on? Okay, good. Then I want to tell you a little bit about the Google Summer of Code. What this is an annual program sponsored by Google where they pay students to work on free software projects over the summer. So you send an application to whatever project you want to work for, and they evaluate it. And if they accept you, you work for them for the summer. You have a midterm evaluation and evaluation at the end, and if you get positive evaluations, you get paid, you get the t-shirt, and hopefully the world benefits from this additional code that's been generated. It's grown into a really huge program. It started in 2005 and ran in 2006 and 2007 when I got involved. And here is a list of all the projects you can work for. And there are, I think, about 130 of them. Chances are some of the software that you use has benefited from the Google Summer of Code. I mean, it's really huge. And you click on these, and it shows you the ideas that these people have, what they want students to implement over the summer. Yeah, so there's 130 projects. About 900 students were involved this year. 81% of them had successful programs. They got a positive evaluation. And every student that participates in this gets $4,500 for the summer in three payments. And then whatever project they're working for gets $500. So that's $5,000 overall Google is donating for each of these projects. And do the math, over 900 students, you know, that's a that's a chunk of change there. But it really helps out. Nmap definitely has grown a lot of the Summer of Code. UMIT itself was a Summer of Code project, and all the things I mentioned today, I think, came out of the Summer of Code. So that's pretty interesting. I'm not sure when they set out applications, you know, or open it up for applications, but it's a few months before the summer or something. If your students are interested, you know, this is the website, code.google.com/SOC.
out of curiosity, if you click on the BBC News,
sure. Huh, well, how about that? Yeah, it is the British Broadcasting Corporation, so, yeah. Yeah, you can check it out. Chances are there's something you use that's on that list. Oh, yeah, I want to explain kind of the motivation behind UMIT. There was, okay, that scan's finished. There was another graphical front end for Nmap called Nmap FE, which was kind of lame and didn't do a whole lot more than the command line. Also, it was for Unix only, didn't run on Windows, and Nmap and UMIT run on Windows now, and have for a while, actually, so you can use that. But we would get mails to the Nmap mailing list from Windows users who would say, I downloaded Nmap, and I double-clicked on the Nmap.exe icon, and this black window appeared and disappeared. And what do? You know, I think there's something wrong with your program. Well, it's a console application. You double-click on it, it pops up, shows a message, and disappears. You know, people don't know that. They don't know how to use the command line. So we're hoping UMIT will ease some of that transition for Windows users, and they'll see this, they'll see the icon and know that, okay, that's what I run to run Nmap.
So it's UMIT stand for?
I don't know if I should say this. It's sort of a secret. Although although the developer did say it in an audio interview, so I guess I can tell you. UMIT stands for Use Me Instead Trinity. You may not know that in the movie The Matrix Revolutions, Trinity uses Nmap, and you see screenshots in the movie and everything when they're breaking into the tower or whatever to shut off the power. So the developer of UMIT, his name's Adriano, he says she should be using UMIT instead. all right, so let's see. What I did is I ran the dash capital A scan, and let's see what we got here. We see that SSH port is open. It's running OpenSSH 4.3, so that's kind of cool. That ends up being a fairly simple thing to version detect. Apache 2.2.2, and additionally it says Fedora on there, which is a good clue as to what they're running. Although that's something that can be spoofed, you know, this is already a big clue. Now, unfortunately, we're 12 hops away, so the information you need to do OS detection degrades along the way as you pass through firewalls and routers and that sort of thing. So it's really just giving you a guess, but it's saying your best guess, 95%, is that it's some kind of Linux. And these other things that it thinks it is are probably devices with embedded Linux. So it's a pretty close guess. That particular machine has been up for 28 days. Here's the trace route. And if you do see incorrect results in the OS or version detection, please go to that website and submit them. Chances are I'll be the guy who sees them and incorporates them into the next version. All right, so are there any final questions?
Sorry, you still work from Fedora?
I am, yeah. So successful enough, I'm still developing code for the project. And I got a website on there if you want to get Nmap, get a recent one so you can try out these commands I've given you, or if you just want to try it out for the first time, you can download it, or see me at the break and I'll get you a copy, or if you want to learn more about the Summer of Code. Thank you.